Darling, have you missed me?
I didn't know you were gone.
This is Keith, your host at the Retro Radio Podcast.
And don't forget the Retrobots, David,
Tom,
and I'm Jill.
Thanks for joining us at the Retro Radio Podcast, the Internet's best-kept secret source for your favorite old-time radio shows.
I wouldn't say that.
But the secret is getting out.
Help get the word out. Share us with a friend today.
Well, one dirty trick deserves another.
The Retro Radio Podcast is always family-friendly, always good, clean, fun.
But take it easy, Jeff. You'll give us all the jitters.
Visit our homepage today.
Located at retro-otr.com.
Where you can participate in our online forums.
I'm talking to you!
So leave us a comment or email. We would love to hear from you.
I got something for you.
You can mail it to me.
Welcome to the Retro Radio Podcast. Now here's Jill to tell us about our feature.
Well, Keith hasn't been in yet, so I don't know what the feature is.
Really? Keith isn't here?
Nope, I haven't seen him.
Ha 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 ha.
Hey, does that mean that we can do a flashback show like Jack Benny does all the time? And what's up with that creepy laugh, David?
A flashback?
No flashbacks. But I was just thinking that it has been a while since the Retrobots took over the show.
Oh.
You're not going to get us in trouble again, are you?
Trouble? Me?
Yes, you.
Is this going to involve more killer robots?
No killer robots.
Darn, I like killer robots.
Well, tell us already, what do you have in mind, David?
A science fiction feature. From the series 2000+.
Oh, the series where everything takes place in the far-flung years after the new millennium.
You mean the new millennium that we've been in for the past 10 years?
Yes, that one.
Can I finish?
Sure, go ahead.
It was originally aired on July 8, 1950, and it takes place in the 24th century, the year 2370.
Like Buck Rogers?
No, not like Buck Rogers.
Wasn't Buck Rogers supposed to be in the 25th century?
See, it only misses it by 30 years.
It's not Buck Rogers. The show is titled Space Wreck.
Space Wreck?
Yes, Space Wreck.
Never heard of it.
Well, you're going to hear of it today. Because it's what I'm going to play, all right.
Okay, you don't have to get all huffy with me.
All right, guys, break it up. We have a show to do.
You won't study, you have no manners, you won't brush your hair.
You think he might clean his nails before he comes to the table, too?
I said behave yourselves.
That wasn't us.
Oh, sorry. Well, since we have a show from the past, about a future event, how about something in between for our musical feature?
Here's side A. And B, of a 45 revolutions per minute record by Bachan Ingedman from 1956, Flying Saucer.
We interrupt this record to bring you a special bulletin. The reports of a flying saucer hovering over the city have been confirmed. The flying saucers are real. That was the Clatters recording. Too real. We switch you now to our on-the-spot reporter downtown.
Come on, baby, let's go downtown.
Take it away, John Cameron Cameron.
This is John Cameron Cameron downtown. Pardon me, madam, would you tell our audience what would you do if the saucer were to land?
Duck back in the air.
Thank you. And now the thin gentleman there.
What I'm gonna do is hard to tell.
The gentleman with the guitar, what would you do, sir?
Take a walk down the wooden street.
Thank you. We return you now.
This is your outer space disc jockey with a request for Earth.
Earth Angel, Earth Angel.
That was the Pelican's outer space recording. Earth, I've just been handed a bulletin. The flying saucer has just landed. We switch you again downtown.
Here we are again. We have with us Professor Sir Cedric Fentingmold of the British Institute. And the professor is approaching the saucer to see if there is possibly any sign of life aboard.
Well, I'm sure something. Are you there?
I hear you knocking. But you can't come in.
That was Laughing Lewis's record. Knocking.
This is John Cameron Cameron on the spot. And now I believe we're about to hear the words of the first spaceman ever to land on Earth.
Wah, bah, bloom, bah, bah, bam, boom.
And now, here are the bowl scores.
4-3, 6-2, and 8-1.
The impact of seeing the first spaceman has this reporter reeling.
Here I go.
That was the Clatters again with their big one. Uh-oh!
This is John Cameron, Cameron again downtown. The spaceman has returned to his ship and is taking off. We return you now to our studios.
The flying saucer has gone. There is no threat of an invasion. However, the flying saucers are still around. We are not going to interrupt this record. Yes, we are. The flying saucer has landed again. Washington, the Secretary of Defense has just said...
That was Skinny Dynamo's record. That's a shame.
This is John Cameron, Cameron Part 2. Gathered around me are several of the spacemen. Tell us, have you come to conquer the world? And now would you repeat that in English?
Don't want the world to have and hold.
Hey, why don't you go back where you came from?
Don't be angry and drive me away.
We return you now to our studios.
Here is a news item from Washington. The president has just issued a statement to the spacemen, and we quote...
You can do anything, but they offer my blue suede shoes.
That was Pa Gherkin's record, Shoes.
We switch you again downtown.
This is John Cameron, Cameron downtown. Professor Cedric of the British Institute, tell us, how were the saucers able to land?
Well, you see...
Motor cooled down, the heat went down.
That was Huckleberry's recording... The motor cooled down.
This is John Cameron, Cameron again. I believe the spaceman has a final parting word.
See you later, alligator.
We return you now to our studios.
The spacemen have gone again, but look to the skies. The saucers will always be there.
Always be there.
Goodbye, Earth people.
Hi, this is Keith from the Retro Radio Podcast, and here's one way how you can support the Retro Radio Podcast, retro-otr.com. Just visit our webpage, click on the forum link, or you can visit retro-otr.com/forum. You don't need to even sign up for an account. You can just read the posts, but to participate, you just click the link that says register, and you'll be sent an email for email confirmation. And once that process is completed and you log in, you will be able to participate in the forums. You will be able to add your own posts and topics.
You can even leave comments on show notes when you're logged in.
And we hope to see you there and have some conversations with you there. So we hope you do that. And thanks for your support.
Now for our featured presentation.
Morning in the control room of IGNS, the Intergalactic News Service, where a great
of elaborate electronic devices receives the news that originates in every corner of the galaxy. And straight from the tape, Whitey Fuller, IGNS's most famous reporter, passes them on to the public.
Terra City, Mars. Dr. Luther Smith, outstanding allergist, has just announced his release to the medical profession of a serum to prevent internal coagulation of blood under atmospheric changes. New York. A new luxury space liner, Golden Star, is about to take off on its maiden voyage. Striking a new note in interplanetary travel, the cruise ship numbers among its 750 passengers some of the most eminent names in society, business, and the profession. The fabulously appointed vessel was constructed to go.
Captain North of the spaceship Golden Star to all hands. Prepare for the takeoff at 1600 hours. Final check of rocket engines and airlocks at 1500. That is all. Well, this must be old stuff to you, Professor Winston. You're taking an interstellar cruise. It's a little like a busman's holiday, isn't it? But I'm proud to have you and your assistant, Miss Fenner, aboard.
Well, sometimes it is good to see where all our theory finally ends up, Captain. It gives a scientist like myself a little perspective on his work. But I am sure Amanda will find it informative. I intend just to relax and enjoy.
Good.
All this is wonderfully thrilling, Captain. May I have permission to watch the preparations for the blast-off?
Why, certainly, my dear. Just go down that corridor there and ask Lieutenant Romilly. He'll show you everything you want to see.
Thank you.
Captain North.
Yes, Montgomery, what is it?
Captain, I'm having difficulty with a gentleman on board.
Passenger?
No, sir. He's not on the passenger list, but he says he's going to make the trip with us.
Get rid of him, Montgomery. That's your job.
He won't go, sir. He insists on seeing you. He's waiting just outside.
I haven't the time. Oh, very well. Bring him in.
Step in, please. There he is, sir.
Now, what's the meaning of this? What makes you believe that we crashed the maiden voyage of the first interstellar luxury cruise?
It's not a matter of crashing, Captain.
I am Whitey Fuller. I am covering the Golden Star story for 136 news agencies.
And you must find room for it.
I must, That's all I've been hearing for 2 months, ever since this cruise was announced. Every bishop in every capital wants to get in on the act.
I'm not interested in your act, Captain. This is just another job to me. News is my business.
And I'm not interested in your business.
Aren't you, Captain? Then how would you like to lose $2 million worth of publicity? If I don't make this trip, I guarantee you that not one picture, one story, or one bulletin of the Golden Star cruise will ever reach the public. Do I go?
You go, Mr. Fuller. But please keep out of my way.
Attention, please. All flight passengers will proceed to the Grand Ballroom on C deck for takeoff instructions. All passengers proceed to C deck for takeoff instructions.
Good afternoon. In less than 10 minutes, this great vessel, the Golden Star, will blast off from Earth, headed for outer space. To many of the 750 passengers aboard, space flight is doubtless a new experience. But even those among you who have had some contact with it in the past will find this epoch-making voyage an experience beyond their wildest dreams.
We invite you to make use of the fabulous facilities provided for you. The swimming pools, a skating rink, bars and dancing pavilions, the astronomical observatories, the botanical garden, which will grow as we add specimens from each plant we touch. This is a luxury cruise. Relax.
Have you seen the itinerary?
No, not yet, sir. Not yet.
Oh, gee whiz. On April 13th, we land on the moon. And I'm going to get me a spacesuit and take a personal look at those uranium mines and the craters. Boy, won't that be something to talk about.
Perhaps I'll join you, son.
The name's Jimmy. Jimmy Prentice. And say, that'd be swell, Reverend. My mom's not keen on spacesuits.
Oh?
Says they spoil her figure. She surely let me go with you, though. And Reverend?
Yes, sir, yes.
How about Mars? We get there on April 17th and we have 3 full days. What would you say to a plane flight over those canals? So we can really see.
Ladies and gentlemen, we take off in a few moments. All space passengers aboard the Golden Star will be required to swallow 2 anti-gravitational tablets, to lie down in the cots which the steward has set up for you on C-deck, and to strap yourselves down and remain horizontal until escape velocity has been reached.
Are there any questions? Passengers will please carry out instructions now. Montgomery to bridge. Montgomery to bridge.
Bridge.
Ready for takeoff.
Start the car too fast. I bet my back is going to push right in the bottom of this ship.
Yeah, but it's worth it, isn't it? Just look out there. That's our Earth in the blackness of space. That great blue-green shimmering sphere.
Oh, it's incredible, boy. It's the globe of my teacher's death come to life. North America, South America. Look, you can see the outline.
Yeah, my map was a liar. It showed South America in pink. Hey, bring that telescope and take a look at the moon.
That can't be a city.
It can't, that is. That's Luna Port, honey. The roughest, toughest spaceport this side of the Milky Way. When we land there, you stick close to me, Charlie.
Oh, you think I can't take care of myself?
Of course you can. Well, what's the percentage? Here I am, ready, willing, and infatuated with them big blue eyes. You know something, Andy?
What?
You're magnetic, baby. I'm gravitating right towards you.
Why, Mr. Fuller, I'll bet you gravitate towards all the girls. Let me do something here,
Mr.
Fuller.
Mr. Fuller,
right here on the observation deck.
Oh, you're Whitey Fuller.
Yep. Well, I'm Montgomery, communications officer.
Yes?
Did you forget to pay a bill or something? Earth's calling you on the audio sensator.
Oh, no. That editor of mine, I'll never get away from him.
You take the call at my deck station. It's just outside the door here.
Thanks. See you later, beautiful.
Oh, sorry, miss, I didn't mean
to. How are you, Montgomery of communications?
Huh?
Also of Duluth, Minnesota.
Duluth? Hey, come out of that back corner. No, it can't be.
Oh, it is.
What are you doing out here?
But you'd gotten away from me, didn't you? Well, here I am, Dick. Large and light and still tagging after you.
You're a liar, man. But who am I to quibble? Something tells me this is one space flight I'll never forget.
Hi, beautiful. What's on your mind?
Hmm? Oh, howdy. No.
Homesick, baby?
No. What makes you think that?
The way you sit up here on this observation deck, day after day, staring out into space.
Oh. Maybe I'm in love.
With whom? The man on the moon? That port commander on Jupiter who couldn't take his eyes off you? Or maybe it's someone on the ship, huh?
Well, you're the reporter, Whitey. Well, why don't you find out?
I think that's just what I was thinking, Whitey.
What is it, Jenny?
Well, will you sign this paper for me, Whitey? It's very important.
Oh, it is. What does it say?
It says that you, with your own eyes, saw me high jump 18 feet.
On Mars, Jenny.
Well, you don't have to put that in.
Yeah, I guess. There you are.
Thanks. Boy, it's going to be a long time before anybody on Earth breaks this record.
Speak to the Reverend about that, boy.
Oh,
there you are. Dr. Winston, what's wrong?
Oh, I am worried, Amanda.
Oh?
I was just in the control room, and there are electronic indications that should not be present in this segment of the galaxy. Have you seen Captain North?
No. Surely you don't doubt Captain North's astrogation, do you?
Oh, it's not that. It's just a sixth sense that tells me something. Oh, what is this? Can't Captain Austin, one moment.
I'm very busy, Dr. Lester.
I would like to get your opinion on certain things that are just occurred.
What is it, Montgomery?
Would you take a look at the radar scope immediately, sir?
Switch on this auxiliary one here.
Good God. What's that?
I don't know, sir.
It's heading this way like a streak of light.
What's wrong, Captain? What's the matter there?
What a tremendous object.
It's really right now.
Hey, look here. It's an observation
window. Hey, it's a ball of fire. It's a meteor.
Captain, the rocket moon. Discharge 4-5 rockets.
Captain, to engine room. Detonate altitude gravitator. Reverse overdrive 437. Communications. Send SOS signals to all spacecraft.
Attention all stations. Seal off all compartments. Lower emergency atmospheric bulkhead. Raise emergency emplacement. Divisional plexiglass space barriers. Release rocket lifeboat. Contact spacecraft and long shortwave SOS. Contact spacecraft SOS. Use emergency
around here. And anyway, nothing in this room has been smashed. Nothing's even broken. I don't believe it.
We were very fortunate, Jimmy. You see, the ship was divided into compartments like a tool chest. And when the crash occurred, each compartment was sealed off by automatic devices. This compartment alone escaped destruction, was left untouched, airtight. A single unit of transiglass floating free in space. A bubble of nothing in a vacuum of emptiness.
Then the other compartments were destroyed. Everybody's dead but us. Everybody's dead. My mother. I want my mother. Let me out of here.
Take it easy, boy, please. Help me, Jimmy. Now close your eyes. Try to rest. Rest.
Mr. Montgomery, is there any chance of rescue?
I don't know, Reverend. I never got the SOS out. Now the communications are shot.
But surely some spaceship will come along, a cruiser or a freighter, a patrol ship perhaps.
I hope so, Reverend. Nothing will come along.
We'll never be found because we're off our course.
Off our course?
Yes, Captain North. The great astrogator went haywire and took his ship into uncharted space.
Captain, that's impossible. You've charted...
I know what I'm talking about. I've been thinking about this ever since the crash. 750 passengers, 179 crew members dead because of me. I'm a murderer. That's it. A cold-blooded murder. And I can't face it. I've got to die.
With them?
He's opening the air.
Captain, no!
You mustn't!
Come on, come back! Take Mandy, can't you stop looking through that transiglass wall? It's driving us all crazy.
Here comes the ball, Whitey. A table, a child's hobby horse, and a marble pillar. Oh, swinging round and round us day after day for 11 days.
Like it to do. Take off for some distant planet. The wreckage is adrift in space just as we are. Every last fragment of the ship that wasn't carried off with the meteor.
Well, it is all beginning to move around us in an orbit. They are our satellites. It is a law of nature, Magna. There's nothing to be morbid about.
I can't stand it, I tell you.
Well, if it's unbearable, why do we keep torturing ourselves, staring out at that fantastic nightmare? Stand back, all of you. Mm-hmm. What are you doing, Whitey?
I'm closing these shutters over the observation ports.
And the first person who... Quick, come here, quickly. What is it?
Look.
Do you see what I see drifting over the air corners on the port side? One of our own rocket lifeboats.
Yes, we have a chance.
Look
back from here, Whitey.
Rocket lifeboat. If there were only some way to get to it, to bring it alongside.
There is a way. I'm going out there after it.
No, you're not.
I'll be all right. There's a space suit to this one.
Fool, Montgomery. You cannot control your movements out there in that vacuum. You will drift like the rest of the flotsam.
Don't worry about me. Just give me a hand with this space suit.
Maybe this is one of the miracles you've been praying for.
You may be skeptical if you like, Whitey. I choose to think it is.
I'll reserve judgment. Suit okay, Dick?
Yeah, fine. That's a good helmet, Lindstrom.
There you are.
Check the emergency pressure line. Has someone there while I'm out?
I'll handle it, Dick. Don't fall the cable as you go over.
Dick, don't go. Don't leave us.
Commander Carey, just pray for his safety.
Stand by, help the airlock.
Ready.
Let's go. Grotesque satellite. One, two, three.
sure the outer port is secured. We don't want that lifeboat slipping out of the airlock.
Right. Easy.
Well,
that's better.
Oh, Dick, you look awful.
I've got a few drops of brandy. Would you like
some? No,
I'll be all right. I don't need anything except a few breaths of air. And I'll be ready to take off in that one-man rocket lifeboat.
You take off? You kidding?
What do you think?
I mean, Montgomery, you did your good day for today. I'm hopping off in that life rocket. You're standing here with your ship.
You? Do a solo space hop at your age? With that white hair?
Don't let the white hair fool you, son. Or the crow's feet around my eyes. Radiation leakage got me when I piloted an atomic ship in the last war. This is my dish of tea, boy. I'm no hero, because I'm on my way out anyway in a year or two. Well, do I go?
Not while I'm conscious, you don't.
Gentlemen, gentlemen, please. You're forgetting that a pilot is whose lives are at stake. We all must bear the responsibility of making the decision.
Very well, Reverend. We'll leave it to the rest.
For my part, I think if Whitey, Mr. Fuller, chooses to meet his destiny a little earlier, his gesture should be accepted. Dr. Lindstrom?
To me, there seems to be no question. Mr. Montgomery represents the only authority on the ship, but he says should go.
Now, Mandy, you seem to be in a pretty spot.
Oh, no, Dick. No, don't ask me to make such a decision.
That's ridiculous. Come on, Whitey. Let's get into that airlock and look at that lifeboat anyway.
All right, but don't try anything funny. The decision's been made for you.
Who's going?
Nobody's going. The dinghy's worthless. Yeah. Its whole molecular structure has been shot to blazes out there.
The craft is as poor as its cheesecloth. Won't hold 1 pound of pressure.
Now sit down now and relax. This is the end.
It's hard to breathe.
How much oxygen have we left?
4 or 5 hours.
Food?
A couple of biscuits here.
Have a sip of water, Mandy.
No. I had my ration an hour ago. It's getting awfully cold, isn't it?
Yeah. Thermal reservoirs are about exhausted. Here, put on this jacket. Here on in, the thermometer keeps going one way. Down.
What happens after everything's gone?
Well, we are spared one thing, decomposition. The cold gets us before the maggots do. It is a quick freeze. You will be young and beautiful forever, Amanda. You can thank science for that.
Stop it, Winston.
Stop it. I wish I could. I wish I had. I wish I had never had anything to do with science. It is a snare and a delusion. It has brought the world nothing. Nothing but misery and death.
Save your philosophical breath, Lister. You'll need it.
Science luring men to their destruction. What are we doing here in this fragment of a monster ship suspended in black space? What are men doing on Mars and Jupiter and Juno? We are Earthmen. That is where God put us. That is where we belong.
Oh, no, Dr. Lindstrom. You're wrong. Man belongs wherever his spirit leads him. God didn't give us courage and intelligence and an unconquerable thirst for knowledge and then confine us to one tiny portion of his universe. Science is only be... What was that?
I thought something too.
Movement. We're not drifting anymore.
You're moving in a straight line.
The shutter! Come on, Dick. Let's go fast enough and take a good look out there.
We're moving fast enough. It's a strange spaceship.
Look! It's a spaceship. A rescue ship.
Oh,
they're signaling. They have found us.
I can't believe it. Get them alive.
It's a patrol ship, and they're coming right toward us.
No, no, you're wrong. They're not moving.
They're not moving.
They throttled down the engines. They're pulling us toward them. With an electromagnetic...
Save! Save! Just bring one of
those! Miracle of science! and faith.
Sound of those wonderful engines.
Well, Miss Amanda, feeling better?
Feeling wonderful, Commander Stein.
Commander Stein, Whitey here and I are still bewildered. How in heaven's name did you manage to find our fragment of ship? We were millions of miles from nowhere, completely off our course. Captain North told us that he miscalculated.
Captain North did not miscalculate, gentlemen. His astrogation figures were perfect.
What?
It was the stars and the heavenly bodies that were thrown off their course. Gentlemen, an hour before the golden star smashed up, we tried frantically to reach you. Astronomical observatories all over the universe reported a tremendous explosion in Galaxy 3. But before we could warn you, it happened.
Then you found us on course.
My dear Mr. Fuller, 1,000 astronomers and 15 superatomic calculating machines juggled figures for days to determine the precise effect of the heavenly disturbance upon your position. Yes, we headed for the determined point, and we found you.
Waggy. What are you doing?
I found a terrific travel folder here. A fascinating trip.
Again? Where to this time?
Luxury cruise. Up to Hudson to Bear Mountain.
Presented by the Retro Radio Podcast. Retro-OTR.com.
This is terrible. You people are nothing but idiots.